You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us a Savior who is worth waiting for. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're coming up on the Christmas season here. We're getting closer week by week. We're in Pink Candle Sunday right now, the third Sunday of Advent, which means that we just have one more Sunday of Advent, and then sort of in the middle of that week, it's going to be Christmas. And so all of our Christmas plans then are going to unfurl. They're going to happen. And one of those things that happens in my family around that time is that we stick around in Tallahassee for a little bit, but then we all pile into the van together and we head north to St. Louis. And that's a long, long drive. It's about 14 hours or so, depending on how many times the kids have to go to the bathroom. And so as we're driving up, we kind of learn, okay, there's different landmarks that we can see. There's different things that we can notice along the way that tell us, okay, that's where we are. So whether that be a certain city, so we know how far we've gone if we hit Birmingham, or whether that's a kind of landmark that we're looking for, those kind of things, they tell us where we are. In fact, some of those landmarks are pretty exciting. So we know that when we see the Gateway Arch, that there's only about 30 minutes left in our travel. And that's pretty great moment. One of the things that we do in our family also is we count water towers. And so we know that between Tallahassee and St. Louis, there's about 55-ish water towers. And so that kind of tells you, okay, that's how far we are in this whole journey. Well, that's kind of where we are in Advent here. We're in that moment of taking count of where we are and saying, okay, where are we in this waiting process? You know, kind of, are we there yet? How long until we get there? And that's an interesting question to ask in Advent, because Advent has kind of two different poles. In the one pole, we know exactly when the thing is coming that we're waiting for. We know that on December 24th or December 25th, depending on which one of those dates you really get into, that is Christmas. Yeah, you can set your watch to it. You can set your phone to have an alarm on that moment, where you go, okay, now my waiting has been fulfilled. Now my waiting is done. But we're also waiting for Jesus to come back in the resurrection, and we recognize that we don't know when that's going to be. That's a longer journey than probably what we're expecting, or it might actually be something that happens on Tuesday. And so we're a little bit like, oh, how do I wait for that? And that's where I think this understanding of our being in exile actually is kind of meaningful in some ways. Because the people of Israel, as they were in exile in Babylon, well, they didn't know when it was exactly that they were going to return to Jerusalem. They had been taken out of Jerusalem because that was sort of the foreign policy of Babylon. What they did was they came in and they took over a country and they said, okay, now we don't want you to rise up in rebellion, so we're going to take a whole bunch of you and we're going to take you to our house, and you're going to be there for a while, so long, in fact, that you're going to lose your sense of identity. You're going to lose that sense that you are a member of the tribe of Judah. You're going to lose that sense of the identity that you have in your God, and you're going to switch those things over into our Babylonian ideas. You're going to drink what we drink. You're going to eat what we eat. You're going to worship the gods that we worship. And so as the people of Israel are going into Babylon, they're kind of in this moment of we feel this pressure. And there's this pressure for us to change, because that's really sort of why the exile was there. That's what the Babylonians were trying to do. They were trying to assimilate them, to bring them into what they wanted them to be. And yet the people of Israel knew, okay, this is not what God wants. God has, in fact, given us a promise that we are going to someday return to Jerusalem. And if we keep that in mind, if we keep that hope there, well, then it's maybe a little bit easier for us to withstand the pressure that is being put on us to change. And so there's that that's showing up throughout kind of the readings today, the sort of sense of patiently waiting for something to happen, something that we want to happen, something where we feel the cross pressures for us to sort of lose hope. And yet God calls us to faith. God calls us to say, no, I know that Jesus is coming just as surely as I know that Christmas is coming. And it's interesting because that Isaiah reading happens right in the moment in Isaiah where Israel is being led off in captivity. They're being marched away from Jerusalem, and God gives them this kind of promise. He says, comfort my people. Comfort them with this knowledge that they will be coming back. And it seems sort of out of time. It seems kind of a weird moment for God to do that. But in other ways, it seems like the perfect moment for God to do it. That God is allowing this to happen to them, but he's giving them the idea, the hope that they are going to return. He doesn't let them get many steps outside of Jerusalem before he gives them this hope that they will come back one day. And when they come back, that's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be the day that they have been waiting for. And because they have his promise, they know, okay, I've got God's promise, and God's going to keep his promise, and I'm going to have faith in that promise. And we know that too. We know that as we continue on in our exile in this sinful world that we live in. In our exile where there are pressures on us to change and assimilate, where there are pressures on us to just look like the sinful world around us. There's all of those pressures as we wait for God to return to his people. And it's important for us, too, to keep our eye on that promise, to keep our eye on the milestones that are visible for us. In a lot of ways, that's what Sunday is all about, that what we're doing in this space as we listen to God's word and we take God's sacraments, that what we're doing is we're recognizing that, well, these are our milestones. They're landmarks along the way. They're a foretaste of the feast to come. That there's this idea that this moment for us weekly is a moment for us to say, okay, you know, I was sleeping in the back seat. I woke up and I see that we're in Birmingham. And because I see that, I know that we're getting closer. We're getting closer to our destination as we continue to move on down that road. Now, certainly in the midst of that, we can kind of look around sometimes and we can go, well, I don't see any landmarks. In fact, if you're taking a new way, and we've definitely done that, thanks, Waze. You kind of wake up and you go, I don't know that this is the right direction. I don't know that this is the right way for us to go. And it seems like that's what's happening with John the Baptist. that John the Baptist is waking up, he's in prison, and he is kind of going, I don't recognize these landmarks. John the Baptist is waking up, and this is the same John the Baptist that just last week was by the River Jordan. He was baptizing people. He was calling the Pharisees and Sadducees dirty names. And he was telling them that the axe was laid to the root of the tree. He was ready for the Messiah to come and to be someone who would take decisive action with the people that were causing oppression in Israel, whether that was the oppression that was coming from the religious folks that were ruling Israel, or whether that was from the Romans, he was going to take care of it all. So here John the Baptist was in a dungeon in Herod's palace, and he sends his disciples to Jesus with this question. This question that was basically, are we there yet? I'm in prison, cousin. What's going on? Am I waiting for you, or am I supposed to be waiting for another? And I think there's something there that connects with us as we live through our sinful existence here. We look to God and we say, hey, God, are we there yet? Some days I don't necessarily feel like I sin any less than the people around me, even though I know that I'm claimed in your kingdom. Some days I definitely don't feel like I suffer any less than the people around me, even though I know that I have your protection. Some days it's a little bit confusing when we wake up on that road trip. We say, where are we? And interestingly, to Jesus' response, to his cousin, to John the Baptist, is not, yes, I am the guy. It's not also, no, I'm not the guy. But in fact, what Jesus does is he says, hey, have you been looking at the landmarks? Have you been noticing the things that are along the way? Hey, he tells his cousin, hey, yeah, have you noticed that there's blind people that can see now? That there's lame people who can walk now? Have you noticed that there are deaf people who can hear? Have you noticed that the oppressed have the good news preached to them? Have you seen the landmarks that we've been going along the way? And I think in some ways, that's a clue for us to look around for the landmarks around us. And maybe, just like John, they're not necessarily the landmarks that we're attuned to right away. Maybe they're different things that we could notice, but sometimes we don't. So I think that's why it's good to come back to this idea that the landmarks along our way are the things that happen in the church. They're the things that happen as we are gathering together in this place. It's things like Pink Candle Sunday. It's things like Christmas. It's things like Easter. It's things like Sunday morning when I know that I can come up here and I can receive Christ's body and blood. It's things like right away when we start off in the morning, I remember my baptism by making the sign of the cross and saying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That those are all landmarks along our way, all things that show us that we're on the way, that Christ is walking beside us, that God is pulling us toward his kingdom, to our desired destination, which is the resurrection. That as we arrive here, we see that there's good things to notice. And maybe they're not the things that we want to notice. Maybe the world isn't completely at peace. We'd love it if that was landmark. Maybe it's not that everybody's treating one another really well. We have that sort of fantasy in our mind, especially around Christmas, that in Christmas, everybody treats everybody really well. And then it all disappears on Boxing Day, December 26th. But the landmarks that are there are found in God's word and in God's sacraments. That when I open up the Bible, that I see there that God is with me, that he's there along with me on this road that we're traveling together. When I come forward and I take communion, I see that God is there with me. He's traveling with me. When I hear those words of forgiveness spoken to me, that I know that God is with me. We haven't arrived yet at our destination, but God is showing us that we're on the right path. And that path is filled with his grace. It's filled with his self-giving. It's filled with the things that we need in order to make it to the resurrection. And so, let today be that for you. Let today be that day where you go, oh, I see the landmark. I know we're not there yet, but I see that we're on the way. And I see that God is with me. And know that he will continue to be with you. Every time you pray to him this week, every time you open up your scriptures this week, and when you come again for the fourth Sunday in Advent and Christmas Eve and all of those other moments that you have to see that you're on the way. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.